If you have your Bible, turn with me to a very, very familiar grouping of scripture found over in the book of St. John. Chapter number 14. Next Sunday morning, we have a very special presentation that we want to share with you. We don't want to do that today. So that'll be next Sunday. So just remember that I've got something special I want to show you next week instead of this morning. I want to share with you in the scripture today, if I can find my place. Sometimes I mark my places and sometimes I don't. But John chapter 14 is a very familiar portion of scripture that Jesus gave to his disciples. We often read these grouping of scriptures as a reflection or as a promise that Jesus gave his church. When you read the whole text and all of it, is where Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But through the scripture, we understand that Jesus also said that something else was going to take place. Wouldn't it be a sad thought today that Jesus would go away and leave you and I as orphans to make it the best way that we possibly could in any way that we could? Sounds like it'd be a little cruel to me. Just get out there and make it the best way you know how. If Jesus done us that way, but he didn't. In the Word, we see that Jesus promised the Comforter. He promised the church that if he went away, that he would send another Comforter. The word another means one like unto the same. So as Jesus was to the disciples when Jesus walked the earth, so shall the Holy Spirit be now for you and me. When we begin to read in the book of John, chapter number 14, we pick up in verse number 16. We see this in the Word, and Jesus said, and I will pray the Father. He's interceding for you and I. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you for a little bit longer. He's still here today, right? He will abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. It's kind of ironic when you and I talk about the indwelling or the infilling and the power of the Holy Spirit. And you have these folks today that have never been born again that want to discredit your experience. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know the power of the Holy Ghost. They don't know the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Because the Bible says that they cannot and they have not received the power or the presence or the glory of the Holy Ghost in their lives. Now, I'm probably going to chase a lot of rabbits today. I've got stuff written in front of me and I may or may not even get to it. But I would hate to think of my life today, to live my life in a fashion, to live my life in a way where I did not have the power and the comfort of the Holy Ghost in my life. If you've got the Holy Ghost today, you know exactly what I'm talking about. More than anything, has the Holy Ghost got you? When we look into the Scripture today, we see that where he says the world cannot receive. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. I love this part. He says, you know him. He says, for he dwelleth with you. Somebody say, with you. And shall be in you. Not only is he with me, and I'll get into that a little bit later, but he's also in me. Every person under the sound of my voice, believe it or not, You are controlled by something. Matter of fact, I'll go a little bit further and say this. You are inhabited by something. In other words, something lives in you. Something moves you, and you become obedient to whatever's going on the inside of you. I've often told people, as your mind goes, so goes the rest of your life. The Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So as we see this, the Comforter we see here in the Scripture of where the Bible says in this, he says in verse number 18, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I like that word, don't you? I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live, you shall live also. That was last week's message, remember? Verse 20 says, And that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now, sometimes it takes me a while to read, to be able to digest the word. But look at verse number 20. And that day you shall know that I am in my Father. Jesus and the Father are one, right? And you in me. Jesus in me, the hope of glory. And then he says, and I in you. How in the world can Jesus be in you when Jesus is in the throne, sitting at the right hand of the throne of the Father? The Holy Ghost. In the church today, we have the power of the Holy Ghost in you and I today. Now, I know that today I want to run around here for just a few minutes and read some more scripture to you. When you look into Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 38, the Bible says this word, and Peter said unto them, repent ye, or repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the authority of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. You have to repent. You have to come clean with God. You have to be obedient with God. You have to come before Him with a true heart, an open heart, a believing heart. The Bible says in the Scripture, and be baptized. The Bible even tells us to be baptized. It's being obedient to be baptized. Every one of you confessing your sins, go in public with your testimony. And then he says, for the remission of sin. And then he says, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then he said, and that's amazing because he calls the Holy Spirit here a gift. You cannot earn it. He just said, freely you have received and freely you have given. He said, I'm going to give this unto you. You know why? Because I thought about that. God knows how much you and I need the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I would add to that, how much the more would you and I need the Holy Ghost in 2022 in the day and the hour that we're living in. If there's one thing we need, it may not be another fancy meal, another fancy car, another fancy house, another fancy see anything, but one thing we need is a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire in the church today. We need to see the glory of God in the church one more time. If y'all wake up today, we'll have church. We need to see the power of God in the church. For this promise is unto you. Look at your neighbor and say, you. And your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. When we look to this early church, Jesus told them to go, and you can read every bit of this. He told them to go over to Jerusalem, and he says that, for John baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. That is in the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse number 5. Verse number 8 says, but you shall receive power, dunamis, energia, dunamis primarily. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. So Jesus told them in the book of John, I believe it was, or that latter part of the book of Luke, He told them and He led them out there. And Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus breathed upon them breath. Pneuma. And He said there in the Word of God, breath. And He said, as Jesus breathed upon them, He said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Can I tell you today, there's something lacking in the church today. I believe this with everything within me. It is a genuine power of the movement of the Holy Ghost in the church today. Somewhere along the way, we bought into this thing that it don't take all that. Let me tell you something, friend. If it didn't take all of that, God would have never given the church of God or any other church the power of the Holy Ghost. It takes the Holy Ghost to live right in the world that we're living in today. It takes the power of the Holy Ghost to do the things that God commissioned the church to do. We need the Holy Ghost. He's not a dead Holy Ghost. He's a live Holy Ghost. He's not dead. He's not anemic. He's not gone out of business. He's as much power today as He was then. The power is not within heaven. The power is not within the church. Or not within the church, but the power is lacking within us. We always want to blame somebody else. We always want to point the finger at somebody else. But in all reality, the real issue is that all of us need the power of the Spirit of God to be renewed in all of our lives. It was very evident in the upper room. Very evident in the upper room. I don't know why God chose to do it the way that God did it. But God did it the way He did it. But God, and you look in the book of Acts chapter number 2, and you see that in verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were there waiting and expecting, anticipating what God was going to do next. And let me just say this. I've not even got into my outline yet, and I knew I'd do this. Only thing I can tell you is my experience. I can't tell you your experience. I can tell you my experience. My experience, Sandra, Neely, was when I came to church when I was a younger person at the Church of God. I would anticipate. Anybody besides me remember that anticipation? I wonder what God's going to do. Oh, am I supposed to preach like this on Sunday morning? Oh, I can't wait to get to church. Because I know that when I get there, God is going to do something in the service. It's not just about your blessing, but I know then I would go to church and I couldn't wait, Miss Cindy, for the power of God to come down. I anticipated what God was going to do in the congregation, in the church that day. We would anticipate the power of God. We expected the power of God. Somewhere along the journey, we just listened to somebody that said it don't take that anymore. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. If it took it in the day that Peter, James, and John and these disciples lived, how much the more do we need the power of the Holy Ghost in the day and the hour that we're living in to live right today? I'm going to tell you something, friend. We need a renewed power of the Holy Ghost in the church today. We need Him. We need Him more now than we've ever needed Him in all of our days. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. There is a difference. There is a difference between being born again and being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot even come to God unless the Holy Spirit draws you. You cannot do that. The Holy Spirit woos you and draws you. And the Bible says that you're none His unless the Spirit of God lives within you. I know that. I realize that. But He also says that when they were there in the upper room, that they received the power to become the witness. That God wanted them to become the witness. It takes God's power today. When you look in verse number 2 of Acts chapter 2, the Bible said, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat up on each of them. This thing, it said again, they were cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat up on each of them. There was a visible manifestation of a cloven tongue, a fire upon them, and it hovered above them and the people all around them. Is that not amazing that God showed them the manifestation? If He's there, there's going to be a manifestation in our lives today. You say, preacher, have you ever seen fire on somebody's head? Friend of mine, I may not have ever seen a physical fire on somebody's head, if you will. But I tell you one thing, when somebody's life is changed by the power of Jesus Christ, and they're indwelled and they're infilled with the power of the Holy Ghost, everywhere they go, everything they do, every step they take is under the power and the influence of the Holy Ghost. And if there's anything we need in the church today, is an anointing of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. And the only thing I can say to you today is, oh God, here I am. You say, I ain't used to this kind of preaching. Well, I'm used to preaching like this, and the preaching I've been doing, I'm not used to. I want to preach like this. Great God, somebody have church. I mean, loose the ties that bind. Somebody kick the devil out. Come on, somebody. Somebody get healed. Somebody get filled with the Holy Ghost. There's still a dwelling. There's still an infilling of the Holy Ghost. There was something that was evident, Brother Sparks, about them when they were there that day. And it said that this cloven tongue of fire came down and it sat upon each of them. Look at verse number 4. And the Bible said, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, well, preacher, it might be for you, but it ain't for me. And I don't have time to get off on that right now. It's for everybody. The Holy Ghost is for everybody. You say, well, I don't have the gift of tongues. That's a whole different teaching on the gifts of tongues, what the gifts of tongues is all about, and that whole thing that's over there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, I believe it is, about the gifts of the Spirit. We talk about that maybe one day when we get a chance. But He said in the Word of God, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues. How did they know that He was there if there was not some form of manifestation in their life? I know what I'm doing today. I know where I'm at. There are those that will dispute, and there are those that will take that scripture and tear it apart and throw it out. But my friend, it's still right there. You cannot take that scripture out of the Bible if you believe the whole Bible. Come on, somebody. They begin to speak with other tongues. Now watch this. As the Spirit, not them. It was a manifestation of the Spirit. There was something about them that the Spirit of God had indwelled them. He had filled them. My Lord, have mercy. I'm going, oh God, fill us again. Fill the church of God. Fill Thomasville, church of God, again with the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, well, I don't speak in tongues on a regular basis. How in the world would you know if He wasn't there, if He wasn't manifesting Himself on a regular basis? Well, I did 6 years ago, but I don't know about today. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I talk to my wife on a daily basis. If she didn't know that I was talking to her on a daily basis, she would wonder where in the world I was at and what I was doing and anything else that would go along with that. I'm so glad to know that He's a talking Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is an ever-present help in time of trouble. And my friend, how do I know He's there? Because I feel Him in my hands and I feel Him in my feet. I feel Him all over me. I know He's there. He indwells the believer. He indwells the church. The Bible said, when you looked at this, and the Bible said that the Spirit of God gave the utterance. The next verse, we look at this. And He says, and there was dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And it says, and now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and was confounded. People are still confounded about the Holy Ghost. Because of every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these that speak Galileans? They heard them speak into other people's native languages, but they were all Galileans. It was a supernatural special gift that God gave them at that time to be able to go forth and to preach the gospel to all of the people that was there. That's how the Holy Ghost, that's how the gospel began to spread. I don't know Chinese. I don't know Japanese. I don't know too many Pekingese, to be honest with you. But I'm gonna, sorry. But I'll tell you something. This is what happened that day. That God showed up and God was able to speak through them so that everybody that was around them heard them speak the wonderful works of God. Wow. We think about the Holy Ghost today in our church. Now, this message started off in a total different way than what I thought I was going to do this message this morning. When we think about the Holy Spirit in the text in John 14, there's several things that was mentioned here. Now, notice this is Jesus talking in verse number 16. Let me get my glasses on where I can see. John 14, 16, this is Jesus speaking. Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. So we see the Holy Ghost being poured out. We see the Holy Ghost in tongues and interpretations. And in the book of Romans, it talks about utterances that cannot be uttered, how that people have the prayer language and they pray in the Holy Ghost. We see all of that as a part of God's given to the Holy Spirit to the church. But today, my friend, I wanted to try my best to focus in on something that I believe God laid on my heart. And all the other things I've already talked about, the thing that really got onto my heart was simply this. That God said that he was going to send the church the Comforter. The Comforter. I believe in all the other manifestations of the Spirit. We've already talked about that. But what I began to think about was simply because we never are alone. We are never by ourselves. As the people of God, the children of God, I don't know anybody, to be honest with you, that likes to be uncomfortable. We all are people of comfort. We all are. Amen? I like to be comfortable. You like to be comfortable. But when you look comfort up in a secular sense, when you look at this up in a secular sense, when you look at the word comfort, it means a state of physical ease and freedom from pain and constraint. The easing of all alleviations of a person. It means that this word comfort here is to be relieved of feelings of grief or distress. Can you imagine the world that we're living in today? When you think about the world that we're in, that have not experienced the manifestation and not experienced the power of the Holy Ghost in their own life. God knew from the origin, he knew from the beginning that he needed to do something for his people, for humanity. And that is to give them the Holy Ghost. Somebody says, he walks with me. He talks with me. Everywhere I go, he leads me. I remember the children years ago. They're grown adults now, but they're still children to me. I remember them singing the song here at the church when I first came here years ago, and the song was simply, "There is no orphans." God has no orphans. And he promised this to his disciples when he was getting ready to go away. When you look into Matthew chapter 28, and you look at the latter part, where in verse number 20, where Jesus gave the great commission, where they had been told to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We see in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things and whatsoever I have commanded you. Look at this next verse. And he says, and lo, I am with you always. That has nothing to do with airplanes. Somebody will get that later. Somebody says, I don't fly because God says, lo, I'm with you always. Just playing. He said, I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. How is it that God is with us today? How is it that we know that God is with us even right now in this room? It's simply by the power of the Holy Ghost. I was thinking to myself how that the Bible said that we by the Spirit cry, Abba Father, which means Papa God. I was thinking to myself, if a child was crying, if a child is crying out, a lot of times all it takes is a mother to be able to take that child and to caress that child and to hold that child, and all of a sudden, that child becomes silenced in the arms of its mother. I begin to think about us today. I begin to think about you. I begin to think about where we're at today in society. Too many people today are crying. Too many people today are hurting. Too many people are saying, what am I to do? The only thing I can tell you today is run into the arms of Jesus and throw yourself at His feet and allow the comforting power of God to fill your soul and to let God do a mighty work in your life. Somebody says, I'm in the church today. I'm in this room today. And preacher, I don't know what I'm going to do. If I keep going in the direction that I'm going in right now, I know that there's nothing good in front of me. The only thing that I can say to you even now is to throw yourself before the mercy of God and let the Comforter come and let the Comforter fill your heart and fill your soul. What happens when He comes? The Bible said again, when Jesus is talking about the Comforter in our text, He says in the word of the Lord, He says that He would send, He would give you another Comforter. Now, we've talked about this before. We've mentioned this in days gone by, but I wanted to bring it to you one more time. The Comforter in this text is a word that is known in the Greek as a parakletos. Literally, it is a word that means this: called to one's aid. Called to one's aid. Maybe today you're in a situation and you're going, I don't know what I'm going to do. Let the Comforter come. Amen. Called to one's aid. The Bible calls the Holy Ghost the Helper. Amen. He will help you. He will be there for you. He's been there for me. I can't tell you how many times in my life that the Holy Ghost has had to be there. Come on, somebody. That's how we are renewed, and that's how we're known today. That we know today is by the power of the Holy Spirit. When you look at this word, Comforter, again in the Greek is parakletos. Not only is it says that is one that comes to another's aid, it is one that says called to one's side. Called to one's side. In other words, here's how I vision this in my mind. I'm the one in need. I'm the one in need. Jesus at the right hand of the throne of God, ever making intercession. I'm pleading before God. I'm saying, God, send the Comforter. Send me help. All of a sudden, God dispatches the Holy Ghost. Come here, Brother Steve. All of a sudden, God dispatches the Holy Ghost. Steve's the Holy Ghost. And He says, hey, He needs you. He needs a Comforter. He needs you in His life right now. Jesus is at the right hand of the throne of God, the Father, making intercession for you and I. Only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. But we're the children of God. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God. Here I am in need. And heaven says, hey, here's the Paraclete. He's going to come and He's going to comfort me. He's going to help me. Every step I step, He's stepping with me. Everywhere I go, He goes with me. He's my Paraclete. He's the one I can lean on. He's the strong and mighty tower. He's the refuge, and He's going to help me through life and everything I need. Why? Because He's called to the side of another. Now, I'm going to jump ahead, way ahead. when David was in, you say the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament? Sure, the Holy Spirit was in the Old Testament. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is a New Testament thing. But David, even David, when David went through the Psalms, Psalm 23, and you look in verses 1 through 6, this is what he says. David began to say, the Lord is my shepherd. David didn't wring his hands and sweat and worry because he knew, hey, he's right here with me all the way. He's right here with me all along the way. David is my shepherd. I know that I have a shepherd and my shepherd's taking care of me. And I know that my shepherd's looking out for me. And everywhere I go, my shepherd's with me because I'm in him and he's in me. And he says, I shall not want because my shepherd knows what I need before I even say anything. He already knows what I need. Now, those are New Testament principles. If you look at the scripture, I understand that. Verse number 2, when we look at this psalm, and this is the great psalm of David. He said, and he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He calms me. He settles me. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Sheep don't like rushing waters. It makes them nervous. And he says, hey, come right here by the calm waters and sit down. Let me calm you. Oh, thank God, in the middle of a firestorm, in the middle of everything you've ever been through, that the Holy Ghost knows how to be the comforter. He knows how to come in and calm us down, settle us down, get us settled in the presence of Almighty God. As Danielle sung a song, let the glory of God fill the place. The glory of God comes in and he just settles me right now because he's my comforter. Verse number 3, he restoreth my soul. Even though I've been broken, even though I've been torn apart, even though I've been shredded into 1,000 pieces, Miss Tammy, he said, he restores my soul. He's a restoring God. Restoration, put things back together as they were originally created to perform. Come on, somebody. And then he says here in the Word, he leadeth me. I'm not on my own. I'm not doing my own thing. I'm not on my own course to do what I want to do. But His hand's in mine and my hand's in His. And He leads me. He's leading me. I got my hand in the hand of God. When He stops, I stop. When He moves, I move. When He says this, I say this. Whatever happens, God's leading me. And then He said, in the paths of righteousness for my name's sake. And then the next verse he says in verse 4, 5, and 6, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear. Why? Because I have a shepherd. Think about it in this context, in your life and my life today. I have a comforter. I've got the Holy Ghost. But more than anything, the Holy Ghost has got me. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You're with me. Hey, when the Holy Ghost is with you, you're born again, you're a child of God. He's with you. We don't have to worry. He's that one. The Bible says he's the Parakletos. He's that one who is called alongside to help us. Has he ever helped anybody in this room? Have you ever been to the place in your life that you knew if God didn't show up that you were in trouble? I don't know how many times in my life I've said this over and over and over in my life. And when I say it, I think about it. But I say, God, I need you right now more than I've ever needed you in all of my life. I've said it over and over and over. In all reality, when I've said it, I've really thought about that. You mean you need him now more than you needed him the last time? When you're going through it, it makes you feel like you need him right now more than you've ever needed him in all of your life. Somebody say comforter. We have a comforter today. And we look in the scripture and he says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy staff, thy rod and thy staff. I could talk about that for a while, but I'm not going to take the time to do that. He said, they comfort me. God protects you. Hey, let me talk about this for a minute. The staff is to steer the sheep in the way that they're to go. Steer the sheep in the way they're to go. To keep the sheep here and keep the sheep, you sort of, as you look at it, he says, thy staff, they keep the sheep in the direction. You know what the rod is? Somebody said, the rod of God. Yeah, the rod of God is the wrath of God, but that's not really what that means here. When you study this out, the rod, you know what it is? Let's say Carson's a sheep. You didn't know I knew you were sitting there, did you? Say Carson's a sheep. And say he's way over there and he's getting ready to fall off a cliff. A shepherd was so trained in his skill and his ability to care for the sheep. All he had to do was take that rod and go, whoo! And he would take that rod and he would smack that sheep with that rod to get that sheep's attention so that that sheep would turn around and see the shepherd, and then that sheep would get back on the right course. He would take it. It was a correction issue. Don't never fight God's correction, because God's doing that for your benefit. Come on, somebody, say amen. And then we see the last two verses, and I don't know how much further I got to go because I've got plenty of notes in front of me to work on. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Sherry and I both have talked about this before. The enemy's sitting at the end of the table. He's watching me. His eyes is on me. Wondering how I'm going to even make it, Tammy. He prepares a table in front of my enemies. The enemy of my soul says, I got him now. The enemy of my soul is, he's down for the third count. No, God just says, I'm going to prepare a table in front of you. And we're sitting there eating from God's table, and the enemy's at the other end. He's the accuser of the brethren. You'll never make it. You'll fail. You're a failure. You're a loser. You'll never make it. And all the time, we're basking in the sunshine of God, because God has given us a comforter. God says, my cup runneth over. That's what Danielle was talking about a while ago. God's blessed us abundantly. Can I tell you something? I've preached a whole lot of stuff that wasn't nowhere near in my notes today. I promise you that. Straight out of my heart. Right before Percy comes, y'all bear with me for a second. He said, my cup runneth over. Verse 6 says this. I love verse number 6. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I have a comforter today as a child of God. That is one that is called to my side. He's with you. He's with me. He's with us. He's an ever-present help in time of trouble. If you go into Psalm 46 and 1, it actually says that. He says that God is our refuge. God is my hiding place. God is my house of protection. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes when things kind of go awkward and things kind of go south on us. Yeah, I'm talking to you, whoever you are that's hearing me. I just heard the Holy Ghost tell me to say that. You say, well, that's weird. Well, take it for what it is. You that keep running from God, thinking that your life's going to get better running from God, God is telling me to tell you, quit running from Him and run to Him. That your running from Him is not benefiting you one little bit. God says, but if you'll come to me, I will be your refuge. I will protect you from the hounds of hell, if you will, from the enemy of your very soul. Jesus told his church, he told the Jews, he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you as a mother hen would gather her chicks. Anybody ever seen that happen? I have. You can see a mama hen, and she'll take all those little chickens, if you will, the little dibbers, if you will, chicklets, if whatever they're called. Chicklets is chewing gum, sorry. She'll take all those little chickens and put them under her wings. Biddies, dibbers, little chickens. They'll get under her wings. And that's the way God says, under the wings of the Almighty, God protects us. You go towards a mother hen that's got them little chicks under her wing, she'll throw them out for a minute. The next thing you know, she's on you. That's the way God is when the devil comes at his people. He's a very present help in trouble. I guess this is part one. Because we have a comforter. When you look at that word comforter, it says that we have one who is called to our side. One, the Bible says again that paraclete again was a verb word. The usage actually suggested, what's this? The capability or the adaptability for given aid. In other words, he is plenty capable. I got to shut this or I'll preach two more hours. He's very capable. Well, if God could do it, it would get done. Russell, how many times have I questioned God's ability? If God could do it, well, it would get done. Heard a preacher say somewhere on the radio about a month ago, and I kindly bought into the philosophy of that particular person's words when I heard it. Now, I'm not saying they're right or wrong, good or bad, but he said these words or something similar to this. Well, if God wanted it done, it would be done. If God don't want it done, well, I guess the situation will stay just like it is. I sort of scratched my head and I struggled through that for a while because God's not willing that any should perish. God is not willing that any evil, wicked thing come upon you. So I'm saying, hey, when it's contrary to God's will, I believe that God wants it done. Don't you? Somebody say amen. Now, I've chased rabbits today and everything else. I understand that. I realize that. You have a comforter. He's there. He's ready. He's able. You say, well, how will I know that? I have a comforter. Let's look at it like this to begin with. If you're not saved, the Bible says you're none His. You're not God's. You say, well, everybody's a child of God. I heard that the other day. Everybody's a child of God. Everybody's created in humanity in the image of God. But you've got to be grafted in to the family. You've got to be grafted into the family. You've got to be born again by the Spirit. Nicodemus and Jesus was having that conversation, and Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, that is spirit, but that is flesh is flesh. If you've never been born again, you don't know really what I'm talking about this morning. But God wants you to be born again. You say, well, I'll get saved one of these days when I really feel like it. Really? You might not ever feel like it. Well, when the seasons is right, when the moon's right. Really? You need to get saved when the Spirit of God moves upon your heart. It may be in the middle of a situation that you might not even expect to be saved. You might not have even expected to come into this building today and leave this building born again in the family of God, have your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and your total life changed. You might not have expected that. Maybe you come because somebody forced you to. Maybe you come because somebody made you. Maybe you come just to get somebody to shut up. Like my granny. You coming to church with me Sunday? No. Well, I'm just praying for you, son. Thank you very much. I'd go back to her house a week later or two or three days later. Son, you coming to church Sunday? No. But I surely do wish you'd shut up. Hello, somebody. But I was at a Wesleyan church on a Sunday morning with a buddy of mine in a Sunday school class, wiggling in that seat like I had ants in my pants in a Wesleyan church. In a Sunday school class. I told him when that class was over, I couldn't wait to get out of that building, like some of you might be sitting here this morning wishing to God that I'd shut up. And I was sitting in that chair and he was there and I was wiggling in that chair and she let that Sunday school class go and I went lickety-split and got in that Ford truck, a 73 or 74, 75 Ford truck, hit down the road, and guess what? I got arrested, Brother Steve, by the Holy Ghost on my way to the house just by looking at my watch. And the Spirit of God at that time said to me, it's just now 11 o'clock. You can make it to church. I pulled my truck into my granny's yard. It's the corner of her yard. The Clyde Church of God sits here in the corner of her yard, joins the property. I mean, my granny's property and the Church of God property joins each other. I pulled my truck into her yard. And I just walked down the church because I said, the Holy Ghost. I didn't know the Holy Ghost at the time. I didn't know. All I know is 11 o'clock. I went in and Buford Letford preached. You talk about a country gentleman, he was a country gentleman. A country preacher, much worse than myself. And at that day and at that time, I didn't expect to be saved. I didn't expect anything. But I had that lady by the name of Wanda Parkins come to me and she said, "Alan, we love you." First time in my life I ever remember anybody ever telling me that they loved me, and me sensed it and I felt it. And I knew that she genuinely loved me. First time in my life I really felt that. I was 18 years old. "Alan, we love you. Do you want to go pray?" And I said, "Yeah." I didn't know why I was going to pray. I just knew I needed to go pray. I mean, you know, she's helping me. I mean, you know. And Brother Steve, it was at the pulpit of the Clyde Church of God, at that spot right there, at the Clyde Church of God, that I knelt that morning in prayer and asked Jesus in my heart. And the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, comforted me that day. Now, the Holy Ghost was given in measure. I think there's a lot more than just what happened there that day, and I'll talk about that message a little bit later. But I become a child of God. I joined the family of God. And you know, this is the ironic thing about it. After I got saved, I never had to have a preacher come look for me. I never had to have a deacon knock on my door. I never had nobody come and say, "Why are you not in God's house?" "Well, nobody's even called to check in on me." Look, when you're born again, you're not waiting on somebody to call you. You ain't waiting on a preacher to come and look for you. You're going to show up and you're going to be in God's house. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I could not wait to get back into God's house. I could not wait to get back in His presence. Why? Because God had entered into my life. My life was changed, transformed. I'm praying that the Holy Ghost of heaven would reign in this place. Now you said, "Well, preacher, you're a little long-winded today." I got three more pages if you really want me to be long-winded. I was worried about having enough to preach today, and I go, you know, ain't God good? Here's what I want to do before we welcome Brother Percy in as a member. I was going to say stand, but I want you just to sit. I just want you to sit there. You know, in this room today, everybody in this room is in one of two positions. You're in a saved position, or you're in an unsaved position. And only you know that. Only you know that today. You say, "Well, preacher, what does it take to be saved?" The Bible says, "If we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved." You have to deny the flesh. You have to deny your sins. You have to repent. You have to change your mind. You have to let God change your heart. And you have to start following Him. That's the thing the Bible said to the disciples. "Come and follow me." And they straightway left their nets and they followed Him. Coming to church, you're a good person. Praise God for you. But that's not born again. Reading your Bible, praise God. But that's not born again. Born again is when you confess with your mouth and you look to heaven and you say, "Lord Jesus Christ, come into my heart, come into my life, change me, make me into that you want me to be." Let Him do a washing and a renewal, a renewing of your life. I want you to stand with me. Please don't leave yet. The roast is not done and there's a line at the restaurant, so there's no use in being in a hurry. I want you to bow your heads with me today. Father, I thank you today for this message and the time that you've given us here this morning. I thank you, Father God, for the blood of Jesus. I thank you for the Comforter. I thank you, God, for the Paraclete. I thank you for that one that goes before us and the one that guides us and leads us and one that's always there to show us the way to go. I pray, oh God, even now for this congregation. I pray, oh God, even now for a fresh fire, a fresh renewal of the Holy Ghost of God. Lord, let it rain here in this room today. Let the Spirit of God move upon us. Let the Spirit of God rain upon us in this room this morning. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. I'm not going to ask you to do anything except this. If you're in this place today and you know in your own heart whether or not you've been saved, whether or not you've been born again. I pray, oh God, even right now that you would take that person. I pray, oh God, even now that you would change their life. If that's you, just simply say, Lord Jesus Christ, I come to you today, a sinner in need of a Savior. I come to you today, Lord Jesus, and I confess my sins. I have sinned. I have missed the mark. I have failed you. And Lord, I acknowledge your word that says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But yet in the same breath, Lord, I understand that if I repent of my sins and I ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart, that I can be saved, I can be born again. So Lord Jesus, I confess my sins before you even right now. I confess my sins and I ask you, Holy Spirit, even right now to forgive me. Wash me in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cleanse my soul. Cleanse my life. Make me a new creature. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And Father, give me the strength by the power of your Spirit to stand against the evil day and to follow you in all that I do. And I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. I confess that He is the Lord of my life. I have made Jesus the Lord of my life in this room today. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you today, would you just slip up your hand and say, Preacher, I may have come in as a sinner, but I've got my heart right with God today. Anybody at all? God bless these that raised their hand. Let me tell you something, friend. God is for you and not against you. Amen. God is for you.